Aren't there spiritually dispersed families? Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 28. Today's Bible verses come from a book of Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 28. There was a rich man, who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away, with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." This time in a few years, the dispersed families from North and South Koreas met with each other. But the time that they waited was way too short compared to the time that they were given to share with each other. They were given only a few days to meet with each other, and they had to say goodbyes to each other without being able to say when they will be able to meet again together. I saw them crying out, hugging each other, and my heart ached a lot. In a history of divided Korea, the same people had to bear this sadness, and for several decades, the first generation of dispersed families, one by one, is passing away. This is a tragedy of the same family, which is heartbreaking. Not a long ago, a prayer meeting was held in Imjingake Resort. A church minister who is aged over 80 was crying and wailing, calling out, "Mom, we all cry together. We lived in divided Korea for too long. We need to have reunification as soon as possible. The quick reunification is important. But we need to have a right reunification, and rather than having the reunification of the land that sheds the blood of the people, but reunification of a person needs to be achieved first of all. If we can achieve reunification of Korea, we would be the people of exceptional ability that would conquer the world, not just Northeast Asia." The last leader of North Germany, Lothar de Maizière, said if Germany could not achieve reunification, then Germany would not have been able to be this strong like we are now. That's right. If the divided Koreas reunite, then we would be the strong country in all areas, such as in sports, economy and culture. Especially for reunification, we need to pray. As yesterday was the 1st of March, we commemorated the day that our ancestors worked so hard to get independence in our country through various riots and independence activities. Yesterday, as I remembered, it was the 1st of March, I thought that Japan is the closest neighbor, but quite an unfavorable neighbor. They got rid of our language, culture and soul, they inhumanely controlled our nation for 36 years, and even the young girls, and they took them to comfort centers, and did all sorts of inhumane acts on them. But Japan, once they were all wrecked, but because of 25th of June war, their economy started to rise up. But till now, they deny about the fact that they took young girls to comfort centers in history, and even, moreover, they claim that Jukdo Island belongs to them. They initiate dispute over land between us and them. They teach wrong history to their students, and they try to educate their students the wrong ideas. They are quite bad people. Have a look at Germany. They paid back all the price to the Jews, who sacrificed their lives and their effort in the war. And the leader Angela Merkel herself went to the detention center that their ancestors used to put the captives there. Their leader asked for forgiveness for all the things that they did wrong in the past. Germany and Japan, these countries were both the countries that committed crimes, but Germans get respect from the people of the world. but Japan, not just from the countries around them that they caused harm to, but from the world, they are being criticized. We cannot deny the fact that their national identity itself, its standard is quite low, and we cannot deny the fact that they are barbaric people. We need to be reunited and have stronger power. If we do not have power, all is useless. We need to raise our young people, so that the leader of the future is influential in the reunification generation. Despite all this, it is quite upsetting to see some people are regarding this meeting of dispersed families a very extraordinary event. It should be regarded as a natural thing, just the way it is. Because of the trouble between North and South Koreas, this meeting of dispersed families is regarded as a very special thing. The problem does not only lie on the fact that not only North and South Koreas have dispersed families. We should not forget that there are also spiritually dispersed families. We do not know about it now. But one day, on the day that we account our lives for the very last time, there are lots of countless families among us that we would not be able to meet together forever. Even if we regret it then, we would not be able to do anything about it. Today's words are on the story about a rich man. This rich man forgot about God and lived a life of no value, and once he died, he confesses this and regrets in agony. He was in great agony so towards Lazarus who was in the arms of Abraham, he begged, "Please put even one drop of water on the tip of my finger, make my tongue cooler." We can see him begging. It is a story that shows how painful place a hell is. What is more painful is when having pain, that we can see the other person's appearance, that is resting in peace on the other side. It is because that we can compare our circumstance to their circumstances. When the rich man is asking for help in agony, in verse 26, the answer of Abraham, it says, "And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." The rich man, in great agony and pain, he remembered his five brothers, who would come to hell without knowing God like him, so he informed of his status to them and he is requesting to pass this on to them. "Please let my five brothers know, do not come to hell, where I'm," the rich man begged. The fact that we are the only saved people, it does not make us to be pleased. The people who are truly saved need to think of the other five people who were left home. We lived together under one roof, but one day, the day that we leave this land, we get to become spiritually dispersed family, that we would not be able to meet each other again. We need to look out for spiritually dispersed families. The certain thing that shows in our main passage today is that a human being dies without failure. This is a fact. In verse 22, let's read. "The time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. Lazarus died and also the rich man died." The fact that a person dies is a truth that no one can get over. A person, just because this person is a Christian, a believer, it does not mean that this person will get to live longer than others. A believer, a Christian dies, and a non-believer, a non-Christian dies. People die when they are young, and also they die when they are old too. The fact that they die at the end is the same. It is a matter of time. Some may go earlier than others and some may go a little later than others. But believer and non-believer has different death. The difference lies from death. In verse 23, "In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away, with Lazarus by his side." Lazarus, even he had a difficult life on this earth, he believed in God. So the Bible introduces that he was supported by the angels, and was resting in the arms of Abraham. But the rich man, he lived richly and extravagantly on this land, but he did not have God in his life. He abandoned God. In verse 23, it shows well how painful it was to live in agony of hell. In verse 23, it says, "In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away, with Lazarus by his side. In verse 24, he sent Lazarus and asked to put a drop of water on the tip of his finger, and he begged to make his tongue cooler. In verse 24, it says, "So he called to him, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire.'" The afterlife gets to be decided on this land. Let's read verse 25. "But Abraham replied, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony.'" All things get decided when we are alive on this land. The heaven and hell also get decided on this land. If we lived with our belief in Jesus, we will get to go to the heaven, and if we lived with our disbelief in Jesus and died, then we will get to go to the hell. The reward and punishment too get decided on this land. If we lived obediently, then later, on the day that we would be standing in front of God, we would be rewarded, and if we lived in evil spirit, with disbelief in Jesus, then we would be punished. Have a look at the parable of talents in Matthew chapter 25. The servant who received 2 talents and 5 talents, when they did not have their masters around them, they worked hard and were able to leave about double the amount at the end. But the servant who received 1 talent, when the master was not around him, he buried this talent, and brought to the master only what he initially had. The master came back and wanted to account for what his servants had done with the given talents. The results so far showed up. The faithful servants were appraised, and they were given more. But the lazy servant, who was given 1 talent and buried under the ground, this servant had been taken 1 talent even from his master. The period that the master is not around from his servants is the present time that we are living at the moment. Right now, while our master is not around us, we could be lazy, and also we could be working very earnestly, too. We could live by faith and also could not live by faith. But we need to know that there would be the time of finalizing. Therefore, we need to be faithful on this land, and also we need to believe well. I cried a lot while I was watching the missionary movie A Person Who Was Sent by God. This is the movie that was made with the story of the underground church in North Korea. It was made with the real story of the people of that church, and despite all the suppression, people kept their faith strongly and they died. Now, our faith has been fallen in our comfort zone. We have freedom of faith to a large extent, and because we have comfort, faith is starting to fall down, and I think we are getting way lazier than we should be. A life of faith is not the life after death. Depending on how we lived our lives, when we are living on this land, that result after death shows up as the heaven and the hell, and as the reward and the punishment. The true faith is living the life right and correctly on this land. Also, the other thing is, the heaven and the hell surely exists. The heaven is where the comfort exists. Let's read verse 25. Verse 25 says, "But Abraham replied, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony.'" Comforting means calling to be closer. In other words, heaven is calling us to be closer to God. To keep faith, people experienced sadness, experienced agony. But the heaven is where God calls us to be nearer to Him and comforts us. So in Revelations chapter 21, verse 4, it says, "I will wipe all the tears from the eyes, so the death, and weeping, wailing and the sickness would not be there again. The first things have all gone." The heaven is where there is no tear, because God wipes the tears off. Also, it is where there is no upsetting. On this land, how many times that we get to be upset? But heaven is where God becomes our comforter, so it is where there are no upsetting instances. It is also where there is no illness. On this land, there are so many diseases that we do not know the names of, and the accidents that we cannot predict about, these make our lives to fail. but the heaven is where there is no illness. In Revelations chapter 22, verse 5, it says, there would be no night again, and the light and the sunlight would be useless. It is because God becomes the light itself. I like the 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. It says, what we see now is very faded like the way that we see through the mirror, but at that time, we will face the Lord's face up front and we will see Him. The Christians, even we live on this land, we need to live with the hope of the heaven. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, our citizenship is in the heaven. I bless you all in the name of Jesus, that your hearts would be filled fully with the hope of the heaven. This is a story of Reverend Peter Marshall. He was very famous. This is a story of the time when he was leaving this world. As his leaving time got closer, his wife cried out, "Dear Pastor Peter, how are you leaving me alone on this land? How are you letting me to live on this land by myself?" At that time the pastor held the hands of his wife. "Dear, let's meet again tomorrow morning. Let's meet again tomorrow morning." He said that and passed away. His wife had a conviction and she wrote the book My Husband Was a Pastor, and this became a bestseller. She was a pastora, a wife of a church minister. Till then she did not have a conviction of a heaven. As she saw the death of her husband, she got to gain the conviction about the kingdom of heaven, and the ideas that earned then allowed her to write good pieces of writings. Reverend Peter Marshall said to her, "Let's meet again," when he was passing away, just like the way that he would say in normal everyday life. It is because he knew that it was a short departure. So the people that believe in Jesus do not say it is a funeral. The funeral means departure forever. Because we depart from each other for a short while and get to meet with each other again, so we call it a welcoming funeral. This is the hope of the heaven. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, like Lazarus, are you dying after getting to know God, or are you dying apart from God? Are you dying while you were doing things that were meaningful and valuable? Are you dying while you were chasing after useless things? We need to make choices on this land. Then what kind of place is hell? Let's read verse 23. Verse 23 says, in hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away, with Lazarus by his side. It was called as hell, in torment. Hell means Hades. It means an underground world that the dead people go to. Hell is a very painful place, and it had been described as crying out in agony and among flames. Hell is where the agony exists only, and where it exists forever. In the latter part of verse 24, it says, I am in agony in this fire. What is agony? It has a meaning of feeling pain, going through torment, making it sad. The hell, in another word, it is a place where agony, pain and sadness exist only. Hell is where there is no joy, comfort and hope. The hell is where the flames burn forever. The verses are showing that the rich man who had a lot of things in possession, and who had a lot to enjoy on this land, he abandoned God and he confessed the unbearable agony that he experienced in hell. In the New Testament, the hell has been called as Seol. This means a place where it ignites the fire with pain. Also, the hell has been referred to as Hades, and a dark place. Also, the people who go to this hell had been described in four types. In Revelations chapter 21, verse 8, it says, it is a place where the people who do not believe in Jesus go. In Romans chapter 2, verse 8, it says, it is a place where the angels who do not follow the truth go to. The people who do evil things and act unrighteously go to this place. In the 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, it says, it is a place where the angels who committed crimes go to. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, it says it is hell where the people who rejected the gospel go to. There are two reasons the rich man went to hell, as described in our main passage of today. The one reason is that he did not believe in God. The other one is, with the possessions he owned, He left God and lived by committing crimes. You too, do you have better conditions than others? If that is used as a tool to commit sinful acts, then it is not a blessing. If you have better health than others, but that is used to act sinfully for your human, physical desires, then that health too is not a blessing. If you have more knowledge than others, and it is used as evil, then that is not a blessing too. In our main passage today, it is not saying that it is wrong to be a rich man, but if the better conditions that he has are used as tools to act sinfully, and he abandoned God, then problem lies there. If you have better condition than others, then I hope you will use that for the glory of God. Thirdly, he thought of his other five brothers, that would be also in pain. In verse 28, it says, "For I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." He was in agony when he was thinking about the salvation of his five brothers that remained on this land. What the rich man who was suffering from pain in the hell thought for the last time was the fact that his five brothers were not saved, and he was worried about them. We also need to think of our families, husbands that do not believe in God, wives, parents, children, brothers and relatives, and our neighbors, and we need to think about their salvation. We need to hear the cries of our families, who are spiritually dispersed that are falling down towards hell, and crying out asking me to save them. When we are crossing over the river on a ship, if there is a person nearby who drowned, and waving at us to save him, crying out for help, would we able to ignore that person? Open your spiritual eyes and have a look around. Can't you hear the voices asking us to save them, crying out? We need to save their souls as soon as possible. They are the neighbors that we meet every day, we're colleagues at workplace, and partners that we run businesses together. If they went to the hell because we did not spread the good news to them, then we need to pay the price for their blood for the sake of those souls. To them, we need to tell them the ways to avoid going to the hell. In John chapter 14, verse 6, it says, "Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In John chapter 14, verse 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men, by which we must be saved." But people seek the fortune tellers to find the answers of their lives. The leader of the big company that went to the jail this time, he gave a few $100 million to a fortune teller to get the answers. It is simply unbelievable. But there is no answer, and no way. So they say, call the life as destiny. But in Jesus Christ, there is a way, peace and the answers of the life. Dear my brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to spread the gospel of life. The Lord, before saving the soul, he shed blood on the cross, and Stephen, while he was spreading the gospel, he followed the way of the martyr. We need to think of the families who are spiritually dispersed, and we need to have ears that are open so that we need to be able to hear the outcries of the people who are in the hell. We also need to have the eyes that are open, so that we need to be able to see the souls who do not know God and wander around. Compared to the number of the people who believe in Jesus, there are a bigger number of the souls that do not believe in Jesus. To save these souls, I bless you all in the name of Jesus, that you would be the true Christians, who are able to open the mouth boldly, to speak the gospel, and put the saving hands out for those who need the saving grace. I pray in Jesus' name, Amen.